Well, welcome to you here this afternoon. We're so glad that you've joined us at First Church. And from our family, certainly to your family, and as a family, I say to you, Merry, Merry Christmas. You know, sometimes it's difficult to get in our mind exactly what God had in mind at Christmas time. You know, I think we're kind of like that little guy that was a little bit confused about Christmas, who said to the pastor one Sunday, said, Pastor, said, which virgin was the mother of baby Jesus? And of course, the preacher was kind of incredulous. He was confused by that. And before he could say anything, the little guy said, was it the Virgin Mary or was it the King James Virgin? Which one was it? You know, Christmas is all about dispelling you know, things that we really don't know or don't understand about God. You know, that's why he came. That's why Jesus was born. I don't know if you heard about, you know, they celebrate Christmas all around the world. And supposedly over in Japan, they stopped on the street and they were just asking people what the meaning of Christmas was. And they asked this one young lady, what was the true meaning of Christmas? And she kind of fumbled around and didn't really know how to answer. And she said, you know, what wasn't that when Jesus died? She was more right than we want to give her credit for, right? I mean, because Jesus' birth was all about him coming to sacrifice for us. You know, when we talk about the Christmas story, we always talk about the tax collector Matthew and how he describes the birth of Jesus. Or most of the time we go to Luke chapter 2 and Luke, the physician, details greatly the birth of Jesus and how his birth came about. But I want to share with you here as we begin this afternoon a passage of scripture that a lot of times people don't think about it being a Christmas passage, but it really is. And it's another gospel writer. It's the Gospel of John, the fisherman, and what he had to say about the birth of Jesus. Here it is. It's from John chapter 1. And it's the first, I think, verses 1 through 14. 1 through 14. Look at what it says. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the, notice this, that life was the light of the world. And here this afternoon, we want to complete this this Advent wreath and light what is known as the Christ candle. And look how it continues. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, testifying concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to everyone that was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Is that a Christmas passage? Matter of fact, let's just say that one phrase together. Would you join me? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. One more time. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. You see, folks, that's what it means to really celebrate Christmas. is to understand the significance of each of these lights and what they refer to of joy and hope and peace. But then how when we come to this giant Christ candle, what we're doing here is we're lighting a candle representing the very birth of Jesus Christ into our world. And listen, folks, like we've been saying here over the last several weeks at First Church, that's what it means to celebrate Christmas. That Christmas isn't so much our celebrations, it's not so much our traditions, but it's our response to the very message of Jesus. Now here's the thing. You know, I love Christmas because, you know, today's Christmas Eve, and it's the day that we kind of recognize, you know, this wonderful, benevolent person that we know of as Santa. And what does he do? He goes all around the world giving gifts to all the children. I found this particular letter this year written from a youngster to Santa Claus. Look at what it says. It says, "Dear Santa, for Christmas this year, I want a droid 2G low, or maybe 2GLOW, droid 2GLOW, smartphone from Verizon." Notice he says there, Verizon is my carrier. That's the jargon of our kids nowadays, okay? But look at what he says. She says, "I have been very good. I got honor roll at school. Love and kisses, Vet. P.S. Ben was good too. Please bring him what he wants." Now that's got to be a little brother, right? Right? This is a sister writing to Santa Claus, pleading her case, and says, "By the way, little brother's been pretty good too." All you sisters here this afternoon, has your little brother's been good? You know, I'm a little brother to 5 sisters. I'd hate for you to ask them this question. But here's what I really love about this letter. You know what I love about this letter? I love about this letter because this young girl wants to celebrate Christmas. And she wants someone else to experience Christmas as well. It's not just about her. It's about her enjoying Christmas, her celebrating Christmas, you know, her being blessed by Christmas, and of her wanting that blessing of Christmas to go on to someone else as well. Listen, folks, there could be no greater desire for you and me here tonight than for us to experience and to love everything that God wants us to love and see about Christmas. And oh, by the way, we want someone else to experience it too. Someone in our family, someone in our neighborhood, someone that we work with, someone that we love. You know, here at First Church, over the last several weeks, we've been going on a journey. And we've been talking about how Christmas and the celebration of Christmas has a lot to do with location. You know, you're going to get up tomorrow morning and you're going to go to your parents' house. You're going to go to your grandparents' house. Or somebody's going to come to your house. You know, I was on the road the other day. I think half of the world's population was on the same road that I was on. You know, if you've flown this year, if you've rode the train this year, lots of people are on the road this Christmas. And we've been doing that too. Several weeks ago, we started way up north in Israel at a little town called Nazareth. Nazareth. It was the hometown of a young girl named Mary. And the Bible tells us the story of how Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, appeared to Mary and said, "Mary, you are highly favored before God. Matter of fact, God has chosen you to bear the Savior of the world." Now, if you read the passage, you'll see that Mary greets that announcement with both fear and confusion. The angel answers her questions and really alleviates her fears and her confusion and tells her that God is all a part of this, that this is all God's doing, and that she was going to be blessed to give birth to the Messiah, the Blessed One. And I love Mary's response. And that's what we've been saying over and over again. You know, our Christmas celebration is not just about our traditions, but it's about our response to what God did that first Christmas. Mary's response, do you remember it? Mary's response was simply this: may it be unto me all that God has said this day. The next week, we actually traveled about 90 miles south of Nazareth to Jerusalem. And where the first week, we found ourselves in an ordinary home of a young virgin maiden in Nazareth, the second week, we find ourselves in an ornate temple in Jerusalem. And there we see these two beautiful servants of God. We see Simeon and we see Anna, and they're both waiting for the coming Messiah. And when Jesus' parents bring him into the temple to dedicate him, they recognized who he was. And both of them caused quite a stir. They made people stop and take notice of this little one. And what he was doing and why he was there. It was a beautiful thing. You ever notice how a lot of times at Christmas, you know, we notice the little children? You know, for example, my good friend Harry and Sue, the other day they said that they had their granddaughter who comes to this church. They had her at Boskov's shopping, and Sue said that they were having a good time. All of a sudden they turned around and Ariella was gone. And they looked and they searched and they ran up and down the aisles, and they were getting people to help them search. And she even ran into the child's mother and had to tell her that the kid was lost. And all the while, you know where she was? She just crawled under one of the coat racks and sat down and just listened to all the commotion that was going on out from under there. See, kids, they are able to draw attention to themselves. And here Jesus is in the temple, and he draws this attention to himself. And it's a beautiful thing, because these two wonderful, aged servants were longing for this day. And it finally happened. But you see, folks, it's not so much the traditions. It's our response to what God has done. And while everybody else in that ornate temple had no idea what was going on, here were these two aged servants of God proclaiming that this child was the Messiah, the Blessed One. A couple of weeks ago, we traveled down, I think it's like 6.5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And actually, we stopped just outside Bethlehem to the east, where the hill country was. And we read there about these shepherds that were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks at night. And all of a sudden, the angels appear again. And what do the angels say to the shepherds? Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because the birth that was taking place of this Blessed One. And you see, we've been saying that it's always about the response. And the response of the shepherds were so interesting. We'll look at this in a minute. But it says that they said, let us go and see this thing that God has showed to us. So they left their flocks and they went into Bethlehem. So here's the thing, folks. Doesn't matter where you are. If you are in a quaint home in Nazareth, if you are in an ornate temple in Jerusalem, if you are outside on a hillside with the stars up above, or as we're going to look at today, in a damp stable in Bethlehem, it's all about our response to what God has done. So let me ask you a question. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, celebrating Christmas, you know, when you're talking about, you know, getting into the mood of Christmas, what gets you in the Christmas spirit? I mean, what is it that causes you to all of a sudden start playing the Christmas music? You know, what is it that happens in your heart or in your mind or in your soul or something where you drag those boxes out of the attic or up out of the basement and you put that tree up and you put up all the different decorations? I read about a lady the other day that had a display of 2,900 different nativity scenes in her home. What causes you to get in the spirit? You see, because we're all alike. You see, when the culture starts trying to push the Christmas holiday on us, you know, like the end of July or the 1st of August, we're like, no, I'm just not ready for that yet. I just can't believe they got all that up. They're playing Christmas music. They got the trees up. I am just not doing it yet. What causes you to get in the spirit? You see, because here's what I want to teach you today, folks. It is the Christmas in your heart that puts Christmas in the air. It's when you have Christmas in your heart that's when your spirit starts urging and having this desire to sing Joy to the World and Silent Night and Oh Little Town of Bethlehem and Feliz Navidad and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I can keep going if you want me to. You know, there's something that happens, but here's the thing, folks. It's when you get Christmas in your heart. It's when Christmas is in the air. I've got to tell you that, you know, I've never been a big decorator. I love the decorations, but I've never enjoyed actually putting them up. But it happens in our home, you know, every year when Arlene, you know, she decorates our house so very nice. And when it's all finished, you know, I'm sitting there with a cup of coffee and it's late at night and we're just sitting on the couch enjoying a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and the lights are down low, but the Christmas tree is just burning bright and, you know, the dog's laying at my feet and it's like, this is awesome. Right? But you see, that happens when all of a sudden your heart, you know, what happened to the Grinch? His heart grew, right? That's when he finally got Christmas and understood Christmas. So what I'm asking you here today, is to engage your heart in the message of Christmas. Here's the passage from the stable today. Luke chapter 2 verse 15 said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." You see, folks, the shepherds made a decision in their heart that we're going to go to Bethlehem and we're going to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Doesn't that just ooze with desire, bleed with an excitement about the message of Christmas? And I think it is no surprise that when they got there, that they experienced the message of Christmas in a tremendous way. What does it say? The Bible says that when they got there, they found Mary and Joseph and they saw the baby lying in the manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they experienced the birth of Jesus. They experienced the burning desire in Mary for knowing what God had done within her body. And the Bible says here that these shepherds, that they had an understanding about Christmas that's kind of amazing in the sense that they just walked into the story. They were on the hill. All of a sudden the angels are singing. All of a sudden they're walking down into town and they find themselves at this quaint stable. And they are encountering this tremendous message of God's love and of God's grace and of God's mercy. I mean, you ever wondered about why Jesus was born in a stable? It's because all sacrifices are born in a stable. All sacrifices live in a stable. I mean, you've ever wondered why it was kings and wise men that came visiting with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? It was because even though he was born in a stable, because he was the sacrifice for all of our sins, he was also the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he deserved the great gifts that were meant for a king. And here's the thing, folks. There's not very many people that see both of those things, that are able to see Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that's able to see Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of your Lords, and he's your Lord and your Savior. It's hard to see both of those things, but some did. I mean, have you ever wondered about in Jesus' day who it was that found him? I mean, you have Mary that understood most of these things. She pondered them in her heart. You have Joseph who had a visitation from an angel as well, and he seemed to have a deep understanding of his role and what God was doing. You had Anna and Simeon in the temple, and unlike all of their other contemporaries, they seemed to connect with this baby as the Savior of the world. You got the wise men who see the star in the sky and they follow that star, and finally they come to the place where he was, and they presented to him gifts fit for a king. I mean, there was a lot of people that understood and got Christmas, but there was a whole lot more that didn't. You know, think about it. Who didn't find Christ? It was the religious elite of that day. It was Caesar and Herod, the high priest, and all the others. It was the people that should have seen him most clear, but they didn't. But what I find really interesting is just to contrast those that found him, those that saw him, and those that experienced what God was doing this first Christmas, and those that didn't. And why some did and some did not. And you know, for the life of me, I came up with two things that I think really speak to this issue. The first one is simply this, that they were honest enough to admit their need. You know, those that found him were honest enough that they would come before him and recognize his lordship, recognize his place, but also to understand their own. So they were honest enough to admit their need for a Savior, their need for God to come and visit them, their need for the wonderful things in the Old Testament that were prophesied about this one, that they were being fulfilled in this little baby. They were honest enough to admit, and you think about it, most of the people that don't experience Christmas, they're just simply the opposite. They're not honest enough with themselves. They're not at this point in life where they were honest enough to admit their need. But then the second part of this is that they were also humble enough to both give and receive. Think about that. Everyone that understood that first Christmas, they both gave something and they received something. They either gave gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, or they gave worship, or they gave admonition. They gave glory and honor and praise to this one that was being born, and then they received something. Think about it. The wise men, they didn't just come and give something. They received something. They took with them the very knowledge that they had been in the presence of God himself, of the Savior of mankind. And let me tell you something, folks. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing to experience in life, to know that you have been at that particular place. So let me ask you today, is Christmas just about your traditions? Is your celebration of Christmas just about a location? Somewhere you go, somewhere you are, some place that you invite others to come to. I invite you today to make your Christmas more than just about a tradition or about a location, but about our response to the message of Christmas. Because listen, folks, God wants to give us a great, great gift. You know, my grandson Jack was here yesterday. He's 3. And we already had Christmas with him. We opened all the presents. It was all done. But I wasn't done. I went down in the basement and I had these two gifts. They were a fire truck and they were a police cruiser. And they had bells and whistles on them and they were kind of about this big and they were just awesome. And I put them both behind my back and I came upstairs and I said, Jack, I said, pick a hand. He said, right. He's a smart kid. And I pulled out an empty right hand. And he was like. And he said, the other one. And I pulled out an empty left hand. And I said, you know what, Jack? I said, Pappy's hands are never empty, are they? He said, no. I said, pick a hand. And he said, right. And I pulled out one of those trucks. And he was like, whoa, this is awesome. And he ripped it open and he's pushing, woo, 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 woo. And I said, pick a hand. And he's the other one. And I pulled this one out and he ripped it open and he's like going around. I mean, he's just driving up over everybody there. And it was wonderful. And here's the thing, folks. That's how God wants to be with us. God's hands are never empty. God's heart is always full of His love and His devotion to me and you and to all of us. And that's what Christmas is all about. You know why? Because God came to earth and He dwelt among us. And His light was the light of the world. And if we don't see that, then we miss Christmas altogether. But we can't see it without honesty. Honesty to admit that we need Him. And without humility to both give and receive. You know, Howard Thurman, I found this quote by him. And I want to close with this because I think it was wonderful. Talking about Christmas, he says this. He says, when the song of the angels is stilled, and when the star in the sky is gone, and when the kings and princes are home, and when the shepherds are back with their flock, I love this. Look, he says, the work of Christmas begins. What's the work of Christmas? To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. And you know what, folks? Christmas is tomorrow. And when Christmas is over, our work as people who know the message of Christmas, that's when our work begins. To do exactly what we see here, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. Because Christmas isn't just about location. It's about us receiving the message of Christmas in those wonderful places. And you know what? I don't think there's a more wonderful place than right here. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm always in awe of people in your story in the Bible that just really understand Christmas. And I thank you, Lord, for this journey that we've been on for some weeks, going to all these places and thinking about these different people and how they responded to the message of Christmas. And Lord, just as your word came to them then, we believe, Lord, that your word has come to us here today. And we pray with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, that, Father, we could come to understand the message of Christmas as well. That, Lord, we will not be counted among those that miss it. That just get up and miss it and go to bed and get up the next day never knowing what has happened. But that, Father, we can be like sweet Mary from that humble home in Nazareth, who treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. God, may we be like those two great old saints in the ornate temple in Bethlehem, that while everybody else was busy worshiping, they were busy recognizing that you had come. May we be like those wonderful shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem, that when our lives are interrupted by the message of glory to God in the highest, that born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Lord, may we be like they were, willing to put our lives on hold to go and investigate and to see this wonderful thing. And then, Lord, may we be like all of those that were there in that humble stable in Bethlehem when the Savior of mankind was born and placed in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Father, may we all make room for Him in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.